moving on the streets.
If we can touch that one gang member with that one word, we can reach entire gangs. We can reach entire cities.
We, the people of God, are going to bring the light into the darkness.
They're like sheep without a shepherd.
They don't know him yet.
A lot of times I feel trapped.
Anyone that's growing in light is going to have an increasing heart for those who are in darkness.
Go in his power and in his love and demonstrate who he is.
I say a few people made a believer out of me.
We send him out two by two.
To a wounded and dying world. Not to condemn, but to love.
Tell his love, man. He really loves you.
The dead raised, the sick healed, devils cast out in great measure, the poor looked after, and it should be normal Christianity.
God's heart burns for the lost, and he wants us to take the prophetic to the streets.
Welcome to Extreme Prophetic. My name's Patricia King, and I'm really glad that you've joined us for today's program. We're featuring Ministry to the Homeless, and we'll be sharing with you how you can reach out to the homeless and bring the love of Jesus to them. Stay tuned for the entire program. Welcome to Insights. As a ministry, we love ministering to the homeless poor. There's nothing like it. You know, we so feel the heart of God, his compassion and his love when we're amongst the homeless. And so we want to take a little look within the scriptures right now. So turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 58, starting in verse 6. It says, "Is this not the fast which I choose, to loosen the bonds of wickedness, to undo the bands of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free, and break every yoke? Is it not to divide your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into the house? And when you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh?" It says right there that we are to care for the homeless, that those that are in bondage, those that have been all bound up and can't get themselves free, that we're just supposed to go and care for them. It even says to bring the homeless poor into your own home. And so that's quite a sacrifice. And many in the body are doing that. But you know, there's many reasons for people to be homeless. So we're going to take a look at some of these. And one reason is when people get older and they can't live on their own at home anymore, oftentimes they're put into an institution. So they're removed from their home, institutionalized, and become very lonely. Our teams at Extreme Prophetic go out to the nursing homes and visit those in them to bring the love of Jesus to them and just to bring that sense of family to their hearts, that sense of family that has been lost. Oftentimes they're left in the nursing homes with no one to care for them, you know, as far as family members. They've got institutional care, but they don't have that emotional nurture. And so we can go and reach them. Also, some people are homeless because of a lack of employment. We met a young man on the street one time. His name was James. We were down amongst the homeless ministering, and he kind of got dumped off there. He had applied for a job in the area, received it, and so he left his home in Texas, traveled all the way into Phoenix, and secured this position, and only lasted a couple of days, and they fired him. He had no money to return home, so he just found himself amongst the homeless community in the inner city. It was not a good area. We were able to meet with him right away and actually led him to Jesus, and then got him all fixed up with a place that taught him how to get a trade and how to grow in his walk in the Lord. So we were able to take him over to that place immediately after he got saved. Another reason is when you're orphaned, sometimes children are left without mother or father, especially in some nations. We know that in certain nations in Africa, especially with the AIDS epidemic, children are left alone all the time with no parents. Their parents both die of AIDS or of other reasons, and they're left with no one to care for them. We have a tremendous outreach to the orphans. In fact, the Bible says that ministry to the widows and the orphans is undefiled religion. It's pure and undefiled religion. That's out of the book of James. And so we need to care for the orphans. We, of course, take care of a lot of Heidi Baker's orphanages and give them financial support, but also prayer support and encouragement to send teams over. And if you would like to go and touch the lives of orphans, you can get in touch with Heidi Baker's ministry, irisministries.org, or Hope for the Nations also has programs, and or get in touch with us and we'll get you hooked up. Also, another reason for people being homeless is through fleeing from danger. We met a girl on the street one time, and she had been in a very bad foster home situation. Now, we understand that many foster homes are excellent. They give excellent care, loving care, treat the children well, but some are not as good. And she was in a very abusive foster home, and so fled from there and ended up in the inner city of Vancouver, British Columbia. And that was just before she was 13 years old, and stayed on the streets, became a prostitute and a drug addict until she was 28 years of age. Another reason for people being homeless is through being involved in like a war zone, war-torn nations. I remember when the Gulf War was taking place, meeting a family who had to flee out of their home in Kuwait. They were very well-to-do people, left everything behind because of the war, and had to flee into Canada for refuge at that time. But they had to leave everything behind. They lost everything. They were without home, without family, without anything. And so sometimes people are homeless because of those reasons, and the church needs to take them in. Another reason is through drug addiction. Oftentimes when you work the inner city, you'll find that people are on those streets without a home to live in because they spend every penny they get on their drug habit. And so in some ways they actually choose to be homeless so that they can spend more money on their drug habit. Also, rejection from family. Sometimes people are rejected from their home. We met someone one time who was cast out of their home. Their father was upset with them because they had gone out with a guy and stayed out overnight, which is a big mistake to make. But their father was so angry with them that he threw that girl out of the home. And she was only 14 years of age and would not allow her to come back in. And so that was the beginning of a very rough life for her. And then natural disasters. Our team has been down in New Orleans and after the hurricane, and there was families just lost everything. The hurricane wiped it out and the floods came in, and they'll probably never be rebuilt again. But a lot of the Christian community took those people in and cared for them. It was wonderful. And that's what we have opportunity to do, is to care for the homeless, whatever shape they're in or for whatever reason they're homeless, that we have sensitivity to reach out to them. Now, let's continue reading, because I want to share with you the promises that are available to you if you will look after those that are bound, and if you will look after the homeless and care about them. There's some rewards for you, and I want you to know these promises. So in Isaiah 58, it says, "Then your light will break out like the dawn, and your recovery will speedily spring forth." People have received healings for their physical body and emotional pain when they've reached out to the homeless. And it says, "And your righteousness will go before you." Oftentimes, righteousness in the Bible speaks of justice. If you need justice in your life, if you care for the poor and the homeless, the bound and the afflicted, righteousness and justice will be released on your behalf. And it says, "The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard." The glory of the Lord will come up behind you and offer protection for you. It will be like a military army protection unit behind you when you care for the poor. In verse 9, it says, "Then you will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry and he will say, 'Here I am.'" And so this is speaking about very fast answers to prayer. And we can testify that as a ministry, since we've been caring for the homeless, that our prayers get answered quicker, much quicker. Every time we step out to do more for the homeless and for the orphans, the faster our prayers get answered. And then also in verse 10, it says, "And if you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then your light will rise in darkness and your gloom will become like midday." If you are in a dark season, if you are in a gloomy season, maybe suffer depression, one way that you can get out of that depression is by caring for the homeless. Invite them out for a meal, or help them get some shelter. Just go love on them. That's what we do at The Zone in Phoenix, Arizona, and in Vancouver inner city. We just go out and love on the people and let them know that someone cares. And it says, and the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your desire in scorched places and give strength to your bones. And so there we see that if you reach out to the homeless and the poor and the afflicted, that you're going to have divine guidance. You'll be guided by the Lord. Your steps will be ordained of the Lord, and he will satisfy your desire. What's your desire? Even if you're going through a really hard time, he will meet your desire, and he will give strength to you. There will be renewed strength for you to serve the Lord. And it says, you will be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins. You will raise up the age-old foundations, and you will be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets in which to dwell. Do you know that you can bring revival to the streets if you'll reach out to the homeless? These are some of the rewards, some of the promises. They're awesome. We're going to take a break right now, but we'll be right back.
Come explore the glory of God. Attend an extreme prophetic event in your area.
Hi there. I want to personally invite you to join me and the Extreme Prophetic Team in Tucson, Arizona on the 24th, 25th, and 26th of February. We're going to be in Tucson along with Paul Keith Davis, Keith Miller, and Randy Domain for the In Glory Conference. And believe you me, if you attend, you'll find yourself in a glory atmosphere for sure. It is going to be outstanding. Tucson, Arizona is great to visit at that time of year, too, to get a little bit of fun in the sun. S-O-N. Why don't you join us? We'll see you there.
Register online at extremeprophetic.com or call 866-980-5464 today.
On God Talk today, we're going to look at a scripture out of Matthew 25, verse 31. And Jesus speaks these words. He says, but when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. And then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. You know, Mother Teresa, she had a wonderful attitude because she felt that every poor person she ministered to and every sick person she tended to, it was like ministering to her Lord. She treated them just like she would minister to her Lord, every single person. And when we go out on the streets to minister to the homeless poor, that's our heart, is that we'll be able to love them like we love our Lord. And for whatever reason, you know, sometimes in the inner city when you're working a lot with the drug addicted and that, you know that they're on those streets because of unwise choices. They've spent their money on their drugs. They've destroyed their lives and others because of their addiction. And sometimes people say, well, you know, they're not even worth it to reach out to because they've hurt so many people along the way and they don't even manage their money properly. And why should we help them unless they can help themselves? In fact, sometimes you'll hear people say that God helps those who help themselves. Well, even though it's true to respond to the Word of God and do as much as you can for yourself in his strength, God still loves you even when you don't. And you know, we heard statistics on the streets that over 80 some odd percent of the homeless people that live on the streets in the inner city are there because they want to be there. But for whatever reason, they still need to be loved. Whatever reason they're there for, they still need to be loved and they need to be cared for. And you just never know when one of them is going to be touched so deeply by the Lord and have their life changed forever. One time when we were in the zone in Phoenix, Arizona, I was with our team, and we were praying for different people, you know, that were out on the grass, and that's what homeless people do because they don't have a home to go into. They spend a lot of time outside. And I noticed that there was a man lying on the grass, and he was getting burnt, and he was very stoned. He was right out to lunch. He was in a deep sleep, and I went over to him, and I noticed when I got close that there was blisters all around his lips and on his face, and his face was so burnt. And if he had stayed out there much longer, I believe he could have died of the sun exposure. It was that serious. And so we were able to just kind of wake him up a little bit and get him over to a place where he could sit in the shade, which was next to a wall. And then we got him some water to drink to rehydrate him and just cared for his practical needs. We cared about him. And that's because Jesus cares about him. It is true he was out there because he'd gotten stoned on drugs and he was right out of it. He was just out of it. And some might say, well, he deserves to just go to sleep out there in the sun and maybe die. But that's not God's heart. We never get what we deserve. That's what mercy is. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And God just wants the soul reached. And so we were able to pray for him and get him some help and get him in the shade and lead him to Jesus Christ. And that was just all in a few hours of just hanging out with the homeless out there on the grass. And we got one brought into the kingdom of God that easily just by loving them. And Jesus said, when you do this to the least of these, you do it to me. It's like caring for him when we care for people like that. Also, we have had a lot of revelation on our team this last year or so about incarnational evangelism. And that's what Jesus did. He was God, but he became man. He came inside of our flesh. He walked around in our moccasins, so to speak. That's what incarnational evangelism is like. It's when you get inside of someone else's environment and you experience what they experience. And so oftentimes we'll spend time with the homeless poor, with the drug addicted. I know a number of times we've been down into the inner cities, various inner cities, and lived right with the people like one of them. My husband and I and our sons years ago spent months in the inner city of Honolulu, and we spent time in the inner city of Vancouver as well, and also in the zone, and just going homeless sometimes for a day and feeling what it would be like for them, but also living in their environment. When we go into Vancouver, oftentimes we'll just book ourselves into one of the slum hotels where all the addicts stay, and people are in and out of rooms in the evening prostituting and things like that, and we'll stay right in those center because light belongs in the darkness. And I remember one time when we were on the streets of Vancouver meeting a gal who was just so wounded. I got up early one morning, I think it was around 6 o'clock in the morning, and went to go on a prayer walk through the streets. And I felt the Holy Spirit tell me to go to a bank machine. And so I went to a bank machine and I took out $100 that came out in 520s, put the 520s in my pocket and continued on my prayer walk through the inner city streets. And as I was walking, I met a girl. She was a street prostitute and she was out there and she looked like she'd been through a really rough night. She was all thrashed and she had blood on her face, and it didn't take a revelation to understand that she had had a hard night. And I said to her, I said, you know, you've had a very difficult night, haven't you? And she looked at me and she said, you don't know the half of it. And I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me to say, give her one of the $20 bills. I want to make her day a little bit easier for her. And so I took the $20 bill out of my pocket and I said, I want to give you this $20 bill because I want you to have a better day than you had a night. I want your day to go better for you. And she looked at me totally shocked. She said, you know, I have never had anyone do that to me before. What do you want? What are you after? And I said, I'm not after anything. I just feel for you and I want your day to go better. She says, do you know who I am? I'm a drug addict and I'm a prostitute. Do you know what I'm going to do with this money? I'm going to go out and buy some drugs. In that particular area of town, you could buy a hit of heroin for just over $10. And so that would have fixed her, and she looked like she needed one. And some people have condemned that act because they say, you know, if you give a drug addict money, you're just feeding their habit, you're making things worse. But when the Spirit tells you to give, you give. Because you never know what might have happened to that woman if she didn't have that money. Maybe the next trick she turned would have been the one where she died. Maybe the next man that picked her up would have killed her. We don't know. But I do know this, that God told me to give her a $20 bill. I said to her, I said, I know who you are and I know what you're probably going to do with this money. But Jesus loves you and he cares about you. And I said, you know what? You have way too much worth and way too much value to be on these streets. And I saw tears well up in her eyes. And you know, that in itself is a miracle. Because when you get to that point of street prostitution, your tears dried up a long time ago. You get so hardened and so callous, you have to, in order to survive. But tears welled up in her eyes. And she said, you know, my brother, he became one of those born-agains. And he called me just about a week ago and told me he gave his life to Jesus Christ and that I should too. And she said, are you one of those born-agains? And I said to her, yes, I'm one of those born-agains. And you know, your brother's probably been praying for you. And that's why I'm here. God sent me to reach out to you. And she said, well, maybe one day I will. Anyways, I end up praying for her. She said, you know, one day I'm going to get straight. And then maybe I can go into that nice part of town that's just down the street here. And maybe even go into a nice restaurant. And I said, well, you know what? I'd be happy to take you even now to one of those really nice restaurants. She said, really? You do that for me? And she said, this is the first time I've ever had anyone be so kind. And she couldn't believe it. Well, anyways, we had some more interaction and then she left. And I told her, I said, you know, I'd like to see you later. You know, hopefully I'll see you on the streets in a little while. And she went her way and I did get to see her a few days later just to say hi. Well, then around the corner came another friend of hers and I ended up ministering to her as well and had some wonderful interaction. Well, you know, it was about 6-7 months later that I was back down on those streets for some more time of ministering to the homeless poor. And we had set up this little card table with free destiny words and we were prophesying over people that came for destiny words. And this woman came by and she looked at me and she stopped and she said, I know you. And I said, you know, you look really familiar to me too. Who are you? You look really familiar, but I can't quite place you. She said, I'll never forget you as long as I live because last summer you gave me a $20 bill. I'll never forget you. And she said, I've actually become one of those born-agains. And she said, I'm now a Christian. And she said, it was your love, that love that was extended toward me that made all the change. She said, I've been really trying hard to get off the drugs and sometimes I do really well and sometimes I don't, but at least I'm doing better than what I was. And we just had a great embrace and connected again. But she was so touched because she was reached out to with the love of Jesus. You see, Jesus said, if you do this to the least of these, you do it unto me. You know, I was lonely. I needed someone to visit me. I was in need. I needed someone to touch me. I was desperate. I needed to be filled. That's what the streets are all about. That's what the homeless ministry is all about. It's about touching Jesus through touching the homeless and touching the needy. We've had so many encounters. I remember one time Stacy Campbell and I were out in the inner city and we met this young girl. She was all curled up in a little alcove in a storefront and she was going into a purse to inject herself with heroin right out there in the open. And we went and talked to her and she was a bit embarrassed. So she put all of her drug paraphernalia back in her bag. And I said, what could we do to help you? And she said, well, I'm really hungry. I haven't eaten for days. And I said, well, let's take you for a meal. So Stacy Campbell and I took her to a restaurant and sat her down and said, you can order whatever you want. Well, my goodness, she was a hungry little thing. She was so tiny, so small, and sat with us there in the restaurant and ordered, I think it was 3 eggs, 3 pieces of bacon, sausages, pancakes, French toast, a grilled cheese sandwich, and a whole bunch of other stuff. Oh, yes, apple pie and 3 different drinks. And we looked at her. We couldn't believe it. And you know what? She ate everything except the French toast. There was a piece of French toast that she couldn't finish, and she wrapped it up in a napkin. And we just had the most wonderful time of just sharing love with her. You know, she was just a young girl. She tried to tell us she was 18, but we could tell she was probably not even 15. And she was out there addicted to heroin, selling her body on the streets. But we had an opportunity to share Jesus' love with her and to fill her belly. That was the need at the time. After we finished feeding her, she went back out on the streets. She didn't get saved at that point. But you know, we don't have to reel them in right away. Sometimes you just have to love them. In fact, we can love the hell right out of a person if we go in the name of Jesus. And maybe it's later on that that seed of love will touch them and lead them to Jesus. There's so many different things that we can do to reach the lost. One time our team went homeless for a whole day and we met a girl named Fatima. And I'm going to take you to a clip right now and show you what happened to Fatima.
She's got a picture of Jesus in her purse, a keychain with a cross, a Bible inside of her purse, and she knows the Bible. Like she got saved when she was 18, she's 22, so she's been saved for about 4 years. And you can tell she really is passionate about the Lord, but she's trapped. So we prayed for her. She felt fire go through her. She felt the fire. And when she left, she still felt the fire. So that was a sign that something happened. But you know, you get down here and there's so much vision of what you could maybe do to help people. I really believe for a season they have to come out of this environment, they have to get strengthened and properly discipled. Because just putting them in a bed for the night or giving them a bottle of water, that meets their immediate physical need. But there's reasons why addicts are addicts. They're hurting people, they have a lot of healing that's necessary, which makes me think that we need to start finding out in the valley, where are the healing ministries? Who are they? And bring them in and maybe do seminars and bring groups of people in and then get one-on-one help for them after that. It makes it all worth being here. It makes it all worth being here. You can tell she feels trapped. He's showing me you as a woman that is so beautiful and whole and radiant. I see you as a woman who is glistening with his glory. I see this in a vision. It's like you're bright and you're bright and you're clean inside and outside. And it's like the Lord wants you to know that he has cleansed you by the power of his blood, that he has cleansed you with his love because he adores you. He loves you so much. And I see him taking you by the hand. He's saying, Fatima, take my hand and go where I lead you. Do not go in your own way, but go where I lead you. Follow me. Follow me into paths of righteousness. Follow me into fields of grace. Follow me into a place where I can restore you by the still waters, that I can renew you, that I can strengthen you, that I can fortify you. And the Lord says that he is going to bring a freedom to your life, that he is going to clean you. He is going to cleanse you. He is going to satisfy the desires of your heart. And the Lord says that he's removing shame off of you. In fact, I just feel like just pulling it off, just like a garment, pulling it off your mind and pulling it off your heart, that you get shame pulled off of you today. And he wants to clothe you with love and clothe you with his compassion in the name of Jesus. But she was so touched by the love of Jesus, and he delivered her right there on the streets. And we believe that she went back home to her family in California, because after that day, we never saw her again on those streets. So in some cases, that's a really good sign. But we committed her to the love of Jesus. Thanks so much for joining us on today's program. It's been great having you with us. You know, the Lord just wants to stir our heart to go and do his works of love. And there's lots to do, isn't there? Why don't you pray this week about what you can do to spread his love around? Now, here's a special destiny word for each and every one of you. It's this: God loves you with an everlasting love. He really does. We'll see you next time, okay?